This is Jack Vaughn from the Talking Data Podcast. I'm with my colleague Ed Burns. The last time we spoke, Ed, you were on your way to Las Vegas, Nevada to cover the IBM World of Watson conference. And thank goodness, now you're back.
Safe and sound.
Sound and soundly and safely. And I guess we'd like to, you know, get your perspective on it. They had quite a crowd. They took an earlier style conference, as Imagine, and it's been their sort of data-focused and then analytics-focused show over the last few years, called it the World of Watson. And some of the takeaways I get from looking at your copy is that we've got a way to go, that a lot of people are still learning to walk with predictive analytics even. But tell us, I know there was some news around General Motors and Staples. Was that of any interest?
Well, yeah, it was. So General Motors basically announced a partnership with IBM, talking about embedding Watson in their OnStar system, which is their navigation and information system that you have in cars. And so this is adding Watson to the system will now allow it to create more intelligent updates while you're driving, traffic conditions, things like that. You can also have it tie into credit cards, and so pay for gas from the road, and what making it easier once you pull up to the pump to just fill up and go, that sort of thing. Also, Staples introduced an actual real life Easy Button. I think at this point we've all seen their commercials with Easy Button, and it's a nice marketing gimmick. But now they're actually creating a device, which is this button that you can press, and it activates a microphone in the device, which uses some Watson natural language processing, and the Watson APIs to understand what the user is saying, and then it ties into the order system that Staples has on the back end, so people can talk to the device to place orders or track orders, things like that. So yeah, there were a few pretty interesting announcements.
So it's kind of like Alexa, the machinery from Amazon, where you order things as you walk around the cupboard.
Exactly like that. Yeah, the gentleman from Staples even said this is basically our version of Alexa. And so it's not just about saying you need to order something, but being that it's tied into Watson, it can learn over time the types of things that you order most frequently, and be a little more responsive in an intelligent way to things like that.
Yes. Well, we've looked at Watson before, and we've talked several times, and we're always looking at it from an enterprise angle, and yet at the same time, a lot of the activity around AI, quote unquote, seems to be in terms of Siri or Alexa, something a little consumer-oriented, and perhaps IBM, which certainly had a full-fledged offering out of the gate there with Watson, might be remarking upon that when you see the things you're talking about with Staples and with General Motors, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. One of my observations from the show was that in terms of bringing AI to this enterprise context, it seemed like, at least for now, it really is just those really big players that are using it in any kind of significant way. There were the announcements from Staples and GM, and BMW was there talking about how they're using Watson. All these household names that everyone knows, they seem to be out ahead. But the few people who I found on just walking around the convention, I was trying to get a sense of the average user who's there, the average attendee, what's their perception. And based on that, as well as some of the sessions I attended with smaller enterprises. It seems like they're still kind of trying to figure out what exactly they can do with this technology, where it's going to fit into their enterprise, and some of the problems that would be the best fit for cognitive computing. And I don't know that many of them really have an answer to those questions at this point.
I know I read with interest about your coverage of New Zealand-based Meridian Energy, and the individual from that company was speaking about predictive analytics versus traditional analytics, and seemed to have their hands full already with trying to do what we'd call a Internet of Things application, where they try to estimate when field equipment might break down. Did that individual tell you that Watson was still in the future?
He mentioned that it's something that they're looking at, and he said that he thinks that they'll get there. I think he said within the next 3 to 5 years, maybe they'll put something in place. But at least for the time being, the project that he outlined is just a purely predictive analytics project, nothing cognitive about it. And so I think that kind of speaks to the broader point of where most organizations are right now. You know, that it's a pretty recent thing, I think, that most businesses have just really basic BI figured out, and so now many are trying to figure out the next step after that, which is predictive analytics in a more conventional sense. And so I think that for the average enterprise, it's a pretty gigantic leap to go from BI reporting to cognitive computing. I think that more businesses are in the position of Meridian Energy right now, where they've got a pretty solid understanding of the more basic stuff. They're trying to embrace some more of the intermediate stuff. But the more advanced stuff, which is Watson and AI, are still kind of out on the horizon for them.
Another story that you wrote was cognitive computing applications present new business challenges. It's centered around, to some extent, a firm called Rabobank, which can you describe them a little bit?
Well, sure. They're a Dutch banking and financial services company. In a pretty traditional sense, just your basic checking, savings, that kind of thing.
What I found interesting is they're looking at pretext files and unstructured data more than in the past, and it is causing them to have interest in AI tools. And some of the issues you brought up there, or the individual from Rabobank, Ms. Muriel Surrier Shepherd, brought up that it takes time to train models, and I keep see that coming up. You know, we talk about machine learning, and then people walk away from it. They don't realize that it takes time.
Right, exactly, and that's kind of an interesting point that she brought up when she was talking about bringing in Watson to look at customer service logs and mortgage files, all of which are in free text and not structured data files. But she was talking about how, at least initially, she and her team kind of tried to keep what they were doing under wraps because they didn't want people hearing about what they're doing and getting all excited and expecting some kind of result today, you know, because she said that these models can take a while to train, and it's not something that you get up and running overnight and, you know, get an answer the next day. Even though with Watson, a lot of the algorithms are developed by IBM and are ready to go in that sense, if you want to get something personalized out of it, which is really ultimately the main benefit, obviously, you need to let it train on your own data. And that's the process that can take some time. And so she was saying that, a big part of the project was really just managing expectations from people. You know, she didn't want to go to the executives and say, hey, we have this awesome new system and it's going to completely change the way we do things, and then get the executives thinking, okay, we're going to have that next week. You know, she definitely made the point that when you're rolling this kind of thing out, you need to manage the expectations and make sure that people understand it's going to take a little while before Watson understands our data and can really start delivering some personalized information which is really the game changer in this type of situation.
Everything takes longer than you expect, including machine learning. Another individual in the story, Gianluca Antonioni, and this is a Swiss insurance company this time. We moved from the Dutch lowlands to the Swiss high Alps. And the issue they bring up, again, is one that I'm seeing in your coverage and elsewhere. Choosing the right cases for these applications I don't want to say showstopper, but a bounding gating factor. It's one thing for Staples to come up with the idea that they can streamline the ordering of reporters' notebooks or Post-its, but it can be difficult too.
Yeah, exactly. It was one thing that I heard over and over at the conference is that, it seems like right now kind of the obvious use case for Watson and other artificial intelligence technologies is customer service. You know, you can set something up pretty easily and, pretty quickly see gains. You can make it less of a manual process and make it more automated. And it seems to be pretty good at that kind of problem. But then when you start thinking about how to apply the technology to other use cases, that's when it becomes a little bit less clear. At least the value proposition is less clear and obvious. And so this is something that people were kind of grappling with at the conference was, Watson seems like a great technology. It seems like it can do a lot of stuff. But what can we actually do with it? It seemed like the people who were talking about this were really kind of cautioning, look for the right use case. Don't just grab this technology because it's cool and start throwing it around and, expect to actually see any business value out of that. You really need to think hard about what can we actually gain from automating and what is artificial intelligence actually good at automating. And that's not necessarily any and everything, even though we might think that artificial intelligence can sort of just do whatever we want it to. That's not really the case. So people were really talking about how we find the right use case. And one thing that I did hear a few times was, just trying out some different things and supporting projects even when you see some failing. That is kind of important in this area, just because you try AI in one area and it doesn't work out, that doesn't mean you pull the plug on AI. It means that you just keep looking for the next use case where it might fit. So really all about experimenting at this stage and just seeing what works, I guess.
Well, I do think it's fair to say that the Watson did kick off a renewed interest in AI, in at least in the general public, if not in the IT buying community. And it's been a kick to cover it over a few years. I'm glad you got to this event, and I appreciate it because I think while there's a lot of promise, we also are seeing signs of caution and It all goes into the mix.
No doubt about that.
So without further ado, thank everyone for being with us on the Talking Data podcast today. I'm Jack Vaughn along with Ed Burns. Looking to see you soon, we hope.